Is this attached here, or is it? It is. Okay. I'm gonna pull it closer. I'll lean forward. Then, so I'm great to be with you guys. I am Tony Myers, as has been announced. Great to be with you guys. Here I'm here speaking at Horton Haven Christian Camp this week. It's early teen one, and I believe this is my. Let's see, it's probably my fourth year in a row speaking for early teen one. And my wife Charity and our four kids came down with me, and we're from Iowa. So we're from Waterloo, Iowa, is where we reside. And yeah, it's just really good to be with you guys. Like when Kevin was up here giving an update on his father, part of me was like, I felt at home. I like shook myself, like, wait a minute, this is not my home church. Like, because I'm feeling such at home this morning. That was a great Lord's Supper service. So thank you for you guys who shared great thoughts in the Word. So, yeah. It's just, you know what I think? We drove in from Iowa yesterday, so we left at 8:45 in the morning. We got at camp, I think, 10:45. And so it was a long day yesterday. And I slept really well last night. So I think after a day of driving, and then I come here and good night's rest, a great Lord's Supper, I'm feeling at home. I think I'm feeling a little too relaxed this morning. So yeah, I'm feeling good. Well, why don't we ask the Lord's help, and then we'll look at the scriptures. And I just realized too, I left my notes right in the pew right there. So let me go grab those real quick. Yep, look at that. So we have a delivery. Thank you very much. So there we go. Okay, very good. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord again this morning, and then we'll look to the Word of God. So let's do it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be with these believers here at the Donaldson Assembly. Lord, as I was just saying, thank you for how much at home I feel. Thank you for this great group of believers. And we do pray as we're going to look at your word this morning, God, and pray that your word would be powerful this morning. Pray for open hearts for all of us, God, including myself, that we would gladly receive your word. I pray that the scriptures are what is remembered this morning. So I pray for that, Lord. Once again, thank you for the wonderful day we've had already. And we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week, as I just mentioned, I'm speaking at Horton Haven Christian Camp. And this is I'm speaking at three different Bible camps this summer. And I was thinking about what should I speak on this summer at camps. And in the back of my mind, there's always, it's like for the last two or three years, I've had this urging, like, look at the life of David. The life of David. And so I've spoken on a number of different topics. I haven't counted up recently, but I probably have done close to 40 weeks of Bible camp speaking in my life, and done Old Testament, New Testament. But the life of David is one that has always kind of eluded me, kind of one that I haven't spoken on. And Come to think of it, I don't think I've ever done an in-depth study in my life on the book, on the life of David. I went through 4 years at Emmaus Bible College, and I went to 3 years of seminary after that. And of course, you know, you learn things about David and you do some study, but just a very direct study on the life of David, I'm realizing I've never done that before. And so I've been studying that in connection for camp, but I'm learning a lot too, and I'm really personally enjoying my study as well. In the life of David, you have a lot of highs and you have a lot of lows. And I think before I started this study, I had this very negative perception of David. Just, you know, sometimes the incident with Uriah, Bathsheba is highlighted. And I think about there's the story of Abigail and Nabal, and I just, like, I had a very negative view of David's approach to that situation, and so I had a very negative view on the life of David. And this study, there's, what I'm finding out is there are highs and lows in his life, and he was quite a man of war. But through it all, his eyes are really directed to the Lord a lot. In the complicated situations of his life, his mind and his heart really is focused on the Lord. So that's been probably the biggest thing that has been eye-opening for me. Why don't we open our Bibles to the 23rd Psalm? I know that was kind of a long introduction. Kind of a personal introduction. And this psalm here is what I keep coming back to thinking about the life of David. The 23rd Psalm, a Psalm of David. In the Lord's Supper, I sort of introduced, I guess, my topic in a way. David wrote more or less half of the Psalms. Psalm 23 is definitely one of the most well-known Psalms in Scriptures. I was reading in William MacDonald's commentary this morning, and he calls this the most well-beloved poem in all of literature. Not just the Bible, but MacDonald says of all literature, the most well-beloved poem. And he's probably right, honestly. I have a part-time job working for a hospice company in my town, Care Initiatives Hospice. I work as a spiritual care counselor, so kind of a chaplain, more or less. And I meet with a lot of people who are from, you might say, what's traditionally called like high church traditions. Like a lot of hospice patients will be like very liturgical type churches, like very ritual, formal churches. And many of them will have Psalm 23 memorized because they recite it in their service, sound like every week. And then some folks will, I'm finding a lot of people who did or from those types of traditions do like what you call confirmation classes where they have to learn Psalm 23. And so I'm finding in my work when I meet with believers, meet with or just people from, you might say, Christian traditions, they might not know some, not everyone, but some might not know much about their Christian faith, but they have this 23rd Psalm memorized. And it's kind of eye-opening. Growing up in assembly, we don't do what you might say formal readings as common. And so I was familiar with this psalm, but it very much is a well-beloved, well-known, well-memorized psalm. The 23rd Psalm, in my Bible, the title, I know the titles aren't inspired, but I kind of like seeing just what the editors put in for it. My Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that is the title, I'd say. That it's the first line. The Lord is my shepherd. David, he's going to look at the Lord from the position of a shepherd. And like I mentioned before, thinking through the life of David through this funnel, through this rubric of the 23rd Psalm is interesting. Just with all the highs and lows in his life, the 23rd Psalm is like a guiding post. It's this frame of reference, the 23rd Psalm. So I will read it in totality to start off, then we'll break it down a little bit. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. I've read this hundreds of times, but it's such a beautiful psalm. It starts off, "The Lord is my shepherd." You think about David as a shepherd. Many of you guys growing up in church, you know the Sunday school story of David as a shepherd looking over the sheep. I'm picturing it in your mind. Like maybe you can like picture David out there. Or when I was in Sunday school, they had the flannel graph. You know, you picture David out there looking at the sheep. Think about all the time he had to meditate. And just as he's looking, caring for them. And he says, the Lord is the shepherd. The Lord is the one watching over him. Like he's watching the sheep. The Lord is watching him. Once again, I know I've said this already, thinking of the highs and lows of David, King David, the great King David. Oh, the Lord is his shepherd still. May the Lord, the one guiding him. The Lord is my shepherd. Look at that next line. I shall not want. How powerful is that? I shall not want. What a verse of contentment. I shall not want. And I think this is not saying you should not have, you know, goals in life. Like, say I want to lose 30 pounds or something like that. Or you said I want to run under a 7-minute mile, something like that. Like, I don't think it's like that. I think it's like a deep contentment here. Or like the Bible says, do not covet. It's like the opposite of that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even in the midst of my dreams, goals, desires, my heart is content. I shall not want. I am comfortable in a sense. The Lord, he is my shepherd. That's what I ultimately need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You think about this is like the ideal life for a sheep. You know, green pastures, still waters. This is like where the sheep wants to be. But you know, even for us humans, this sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? Contentment, rest. Green pastures, sitting by the waters, the still waters. He makes me lie down, green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. What a place of contentment. He restores my soul. I already mentioned this to you guys, but after driving yesterday, good night's sleep I had. And then when I really got relaxed there in the Lord's Supper, like just taking it in from you guys, like, and I felt like not only was I relaxed sitting there, but I felt like the truth you guys were sharing, you know, about the, we heard about Jesus washing the disciples' feet this morning. Like I felt like I was just, I know it's worship and the focus on the Lord, but I felt like it was just feeding, restoring my soul this morning, the truths of the Lord. And He can do that. He can do that. Yes, in the Lord's Supper, but in life, He restores our soul. We need that. We need that. Yesterday we were driving into Nashville, and it's a busy place. You know, there's hustle and bustle here. You know, it's a busy city. It's a lot of happening here. You know, we need to slow down, rest, worship. Let the Lord restore our souls. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He can lead you to what is right. Think of a young believer. I was 16 when I totally surrendered my life to Christ. And I look back on some of those times and, like, I didn't know how to live the Christian life. I didn't know what to do. But I look back on that time and I see the Lord guiding me, leading me to what to do what is right, even when I didn't know what I was doing. I remember one time I was at the Christian bookstore and I bought this book on the Christian life. It was on sale for like $5. And it was a very helpful book. And I'm not sure why I bought it, other than it was like on sale. And I was a young believer and was just looking for help. And, you know, here in Psalm 23, He leads me in the path of righteousness for His namesake. He can lead you to do what is right. Okay, even if you don't know what to do, even if you're a young believer and you don't maybe necessarily know, you know, what's sin, what crosses the line, what He will lead you. We keep our eyes on Him, He will lead us. Yes, there's good teaching. He'll lead you to good teaching, to know what is right. And it's for His namesake, for His glory, in Jesus' name. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Though we walk through the deepest valleys in life, there's some commentary debate, you might say, or scholar debate about what is the valley of the shadow of death. Some point to a actual place that David's referring to. I sort of see it as more figurative, he's talking here. Though I might go through the valley of the shadow of death, though you might go through the deepest valley, though you might go through the worst place, you know, it's a terrible sounding place, the valley of the shadow of death. You know, though I go through the worst place you can think of, the Lord is with us. The Lord is guiding us. You think of a shepherd with his rod and his staff for protection, for guidance. He is leading and He is comforting in the darkest valleys. And you know how many of us here are, you know, there's 50 people here, give or take. And you know, you think about each of us, there's probably unique stories of tragedy or heartache out there. And, you know, as believers, we say, though we go through the deepest, darkest valleys, God, it's not easy, but God is leading us. He is, like I think of the figurative thing, He's holding our hand through those valleys. He's the shepherd leading us with His rod and His staff, comforting us. On the radio, on the way drive into chapel this morning, we listen to Christian radio, I always stop at the song. Like, I always stop and ponder. There's Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valleys. Yes, I will. I think it's just called Yes, I Will. And I love that song. Like, I always pause and reflect on it. Like, in the lowest valley, yes, I will praise you, God. Though my heart is heavy, yes, I will lift up the name of Jesus. And I love that. Though through the valley of the shadow of death, through the broken heart, through the loss of a loved one, through the miscarriages, through loss of job, loss of purpose, I don't know what it, but through those deepest, darkest valleys, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Lord is my shepherd. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me, excuse me, in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. In the presence of enemies, okay, and David, he had some enemies coming after him. Okay, studying the life of David, Saul is just after him. They, time and time again, King Saul, they, even when it's worked out for a little bit, Saul just, you know, in the few pages later in the Bible, Saul is after him again. So David knows enemies. In the presence of enemies, he has a table before him. Okay? You think about a table. You think about hospitality. You think about a banquet table, okay, with food, with goodies on it. In the presence of his enemies, with the Lord, it's like he's at a banquet table. Okay, did y'all follow that? So in the presence of enemies, enemies are surrounding me. Okay, enemies are all around me. I am comfortable at a banquet table. Okay, I have blessings in front of me in the presence of enemies. Okay, the Lord is with me. Though enemies are around, it's like I'm at a dinner. Okay, because He is with me. I fear not. In the presence of enemies, you prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. You think about anointing with oil. You think about healing. You know, oil had a soothing aspect to it. Possibly for the healing of sheep here is kind of an imagery. But also, you think about David, you know, anointing with oil. There's also a sacredness to anointing with oil. Okay? And so the Lord does both. You know, I'm not sure if one particularly is in view here, but either way, He anoints our head with oil. I think probably both are in view. The healing aspect and the consecrating. You are mine. The Lord, the great shepherd, anoints our head with oil. My cup overflows. Cup overflows. I think of this morning in the Lord's Supper, our brother was given the imagery about a cold glass of water and talking about living water. I think of that. I was a little thirsty. Yesterday we went to, on the way down, we stopped at Cheddar's to eat. And we don't have a Cheddar's in our town. You guys have Cheddar's in Nashville, right? And so sat down, and they gave me a huge glass of ice-cold water. Okay, I had been eating chips on the road, and oh, it was great. They filled it to the top. There was ice and a lemon, and it was just right. It hit the spot. And like, think about it. My cup overflows. Like, there was enough water. It was not just enough. It was overflowing. We here in America, I don't think we truly know what it is to go hungry or to have famines or shortages of food. This past year, we've heard issues of supply chain problems, or we've heard there's going to be a shortage on different things. And did you guys experience that here in Nashville? Shortages here and there? I would guess in the midst of the shortages, though, nobody truly went hungry. Is that fair to say? Kevin, you're nodding your head. Did you ever?
I was never hungry.
You were never hungry, truly without food. Now, we couldn't find things like popcorn kernels, things like that. Did y'all have that, popcorn? Or what? There was something else strange you couldn't find, dear. What was it? Like yeast, yeah, things like that. But, you know, we never once thought like, oh, what is our family going to do? What are we going to do without these food? There's always plenty of other things to eat. You know, we don't have this idea of true food shortages where we're like we just can't have popcorn, you know, or something like that. I heard there's a shortage on mustard. That's the latest thing. Anyone know that? Anyone experiencing that? I haven't. But anyway, so you may not have mustard this week, today. So anyway, we don't have this idea of true food shortages in America. So when we read things like that, my cup overflows, you think about it like that, like in the context of like a famine or like there being a shortage, or you just can't go to Walmart or Kroger. Do y'all have Kroger here? What's the grocery? And get food, okay? No, like there's a true shortage of food. But here he says, my cup overflows. With the Lord, there is enough. Okay, he has abundant resources. And not just enough, it's overflowing. It is abounding. My cup overflows. David does not worry. The Lord has plenty of resources. Okay? Plenty of resources. Not just enough, overflowing. I think this idea here, cup overflows, yes, the Lord can provide for our food needs, but I think it transcends a little bit here. The Lord provides, and he can provide in abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy. We want those with us in life. Goodness. Okay, what is good? We want that in our life. Mercy. Think about mercy. Not getting something you do deserve. Okay? I believe I said that right. Not getting something you do deserve. Mercy. We mess up. We have missteps. We sin. Okay? We accidentally hurt others. We need mercy in life. I know I want people to show me mercy in life for the times I mess up. If I get in an accident on the way home or on the way to camp this afternoon, and it's a true accident, I hope the person shows me mercy and they forgive me, okay? Mercy and goodness will follow me all the days of our lives. And not just good, like we won't have tragedies, but even in the midst of tragedy, there is goodness. I have a buddy named Nate, and he was speaking at one of the other assemblies in this area, and I was watching his message online, and he was giving an update, and he said, the Lord gave me the gift of cancer over the last 2 years. And I'm like, what? I was like, Nate, no, you can't say that. Cancer is not a gift. But he says, no, it was truly a gift. He said, the Lord slowed me down, and I reflected on the Word of God, kind of Psalm 1. You know, you dwell on the Word of God like a tree planted by streams. He's like, it was a great time to slow down, reflect on the Word of God, reflect that Psalm 1, reflecting. He said, praise the Lord for the gift of cancer in my life. And, you know, praise the Lord, he recovered, a young guy, and he's doing well. But, you know, I think about that. Even in these trials, not that, you know, goodness, not just everything that happens to you always be good. Cancer is not a good thing. It's a result of the fall of mankind. But in the midst of these trials in life, these rough situations, these sicknesses, goodness can still follow me. The Lord is good, and He will direct goodness to follow you all the days of your life. And look at this in the end, verse 6, the end of verse 6. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Through life, through the ups and downs, through what you go through, whether it be the times of green pastures, the Lord is with you. Whether it be the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with you. He is the good shepherd. And then when it is all said and done, in the end, what is our promise for believers? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. At the end of life, after God has led us through the highs and lows in life, through the green pastures, through the valley of the shadow of death, in the end, we're with Him in the house of the Lord forever. We will dwell in His house forever. He will lead us to His home. Those who know the shepherd, know Him personally, know Him as the Savior, we have that promise, we have that hope. We will dwell with Him forever. I mentioned I work with hospice patients, and you know, you meet and through the line of work, you meet some just these strong believers who, without a doubt, they know they're dwelling. They're going to be in the house of the Lord forever. Like, just, it's, yes, it's faith. It is a hope. But the faith is so strong. It's like some of them are like they're going to just walk through a door and, like, go to the house of the Lord forever. It's such a confidence. And I love it when, particularly the senior saints, you see that confidence, you see that faith dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise, what a hope, what a joy that that's our final destination. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So Psalm 23, the Lord's our shepherd. He's leading us, He's guiding us. Once again, I've been studying the life of David, looking at the highs, the lows in David's life. And it's, as I'm looking at it, I'm reflecting on my own life. Just telling myself, no matter what I go through in life, no matter where I go, may the Lord be my shepherd to guide me. And so I throw that out for you guys for an application. May the Lord be your shepherd. You know, maybe you are a young person, you know, and high school and you're thinking about direction in life. Maybe you're thinking about college. Maybe you're thinking about a young career, a new career. Maybe you're in a different stage of life. Maybe you're in the middle of your career, wondering if you should have a new career or if you should stay put. Or maybe you're a senior saint. Maybe you're going into retirement. Thinking, hey, how can the Lord lead these years of my life? Whatever stage you are at, may we look to the Lord. May we look to Him for guidance, for being the shepherd whose rod and staff leading us, guiding us, leading us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I read the biography of Jeremy Camp. You guys know Jeremy Camp, a Christian singer? Really good biography. He got married right out of college. I don't even know if he was the age 22 comes to mind. I don't even know if he was that old, but he gets married to his college sweetheart, and she dies of cancer over the next year or so. And it's just it's quite a biography, and what do you do? You're that young and you lose your wife? I've never experienced that. And it's interesting reading his biography and some of the struggles he had in light of that, and then some of the, you might say, theological struggles he had to evaluate in light of his wife's passing. He comes from a tradition that's more prone to healings and things like that, and what do you do when the Lord doesn't heal? So he wrote a song, "I Still Believe in Your Faithfulness." And then he had a point in his life where he just really needed direction from the Lord. He wanted the Lord to speak to him. But he said, "I didn't feel that. I didn't feel the Lord speaking." But he said, "But I will walk by faith, even when I cannot see. I will walk by faith." And I was thinking about that biography as I was closing this 23rd Psalm. I don't know what's in store for us this next year, as believers. But may we walk by faith. May we follow the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Whether it be the green pastures or whether it be the valley of the shadow of death, may we look for His leading. One more point. When you read this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," you got to think about the Lord Jesus. "I am the good shepherd." And you got to think about Him as well. The good shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep. And so if you're someone here, I don't know everyone here, maybe you're here and you've never trusted in this good shepherd for salvation. He is the good shepherd who leads and guides. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd who died on the cross for your sins in your place. And on the third day, He rose again. And the Bible says through Him, we can have our sins forgiven. And we can have a home in heaven. Just like Psalm 23 says, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So Psalm 23, if you have any questions, any thoughts, I'd love to chat with you about it. And let's close in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this 23rd Psalm. And as we walk through it, as we talked through it, God, I pray that it would be what's remembered this morning. I pray that if there be a person here today who's struggling with direction, who is struggling what to do in life. Maybe they're going through their own valley of the shadow of death. Or maybe they feel like they're just stuck in a wilderness wondering which way to go, I pray that they would grab a hold of the Good Shepherd, grab a hold of His hand and follow Him through life. God, I think about my own life, just how You've guided and led me. Even when I didn't know what I was doing, You led me in the right paths for Your name's sake. And so may we follow the Good Shepherd. And God, I also pray that if there be a person here that doesn't know the Good Shepherd, doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, I pray that today would be the day. Convict their heart, Lord. Convict it greatly. Once again, we thank You for this morning, God. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.